Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, April 4th, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you, as usual, and we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, How to Find Peace of Mind After Divorce, in a few moments with my guest, Dr. Gloria Shell Mitchell. First, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners, because I realize you have other things in your schedule that you could be doing, so I'm glad you made space for us. If you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others who can benefit, and even if they're not on this call right now, they can go to the show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, where you can follow the show, you could add yourself as a friend, and most important, if you missed any episodes, go to on-demand episodes where you can download or listen to episodes there. In addition, those of you who are involved with social media like Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, be sure to follow me and become my friend on those sites as well. Have you always wanted to write a book but hesitated because you didn't know how to get started? Or are you like some of those people I've met who have books that they've been working on forever sometimes and just never quite got them to the publishing stage? Now, if this sounds like you and you're in Southern California, you are in luck because I have created this great 2.5-hour workshop just for you. We had one of these workshops last week, and all I heard was awesome, awesome, awesome from my attendees. The next one is going to be in the city of Irvine, Tuesday, April 26th. And if you're interested, you'd like to join us. It's called How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even If You're an Ordinary Person and Hated High School English. So if you're interested in learning how to get your book off the page and published for everyone to see, go to my website, coloryourlifehappy.com. Right there on the homepage, you'll see information and a link to sign up. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from various fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it, all of those things contribute to our lasting happiness, and that's why we talk about many topics on this show. Today, my guest is Gloria Shell Mitchell, a chaplain, an educator, divorce researcher, and author of the Garbage Man's Daughter series. Her books are based on her personal journey from childhood brokenness following the separation of her parents to adult wholeness after her own painful divorce experiences. An advocate for both adults going through divorce and troubled youth, Dr. Mitchell conducts People Encouraging People talks and facilitates divorce recovery groups. On Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, she offers live weekly encouragement to her listeners on Good News for You, a program aired on KTYM AM 1460 and KTYM.com. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Dr. Gloria Shell Mitchell. Hi there, Gloria.
Hello, Flora and listeners.
Thank you for taking time to come on the show. It's especially tough to get another radio host on the show because I know you're busy planning your shows, and your show's been on the air for quite a while. Is that right? How long has your show been on the air?
It's been on since 1995.
Oh, my goodness. Back in the old days, it's like to say. Well, thank you for making time to come and share your experiences and your wisdom and your research with us. So I'm going to jump right in because as soon as I posted your topic, I got a few comments over there on Facebook. I don't know if you saw them, but immediately people have issues and concerns about divorce. And one of the concerns people have who have strong religious beliefs is about how this stands up with religion, how this stands up with God. So I'm going to ask you, first question out the gate is, does God really hate divorce? Where does God stand on this in your mind?
Well, that's a wonderful question, Flora. So I would ask the question, which would you prefer, holy wedlock or unholy deadlock? Or which has more appeal to you, divorce, homicide, or suicide? So on that question, does God hate divorce? Well, I know that in the scriptures we find in Malachi 2, chapter 2, verses 13 through 16, there is a discussion about this matter. And in this discussion, which deals with the Jewish priests who were dealing treacherously with their Jewish wives of their youth by divorcing them and marrying foreign women, we have Malachi who articulates God's attitude about their practices. God condemned the practice that involved those leaders preferring to intermarry with foreign women who served pagan deities and produced offspring with diluted religious beliefs. Why? Because the scripture says, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? So it concludes with, for the Lord, God of Israel, says that he hates divorce, but he's specifically referring to these men, these corrupt priests, who were marrying rich foreign women.
And I like the point you made there about marrying staying tied to someone who has disbelief or who doesn't share your belief system is kind of the way I interpreted it for myself. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. So when people think that they need to stay, I like your phrasing, holy wedlock versus unholy deadlock, because some people really believe that they need to stay in a relationship because it's the right thing to do, regardless of how deadly that relationship might be. And obviously, you don't agree with that. I also think that you don't agree with people divorcing just frivolously either. So I want to get to your book, because I know your book covers a lot of this in it, and especially when we look at the title, The Garbage Man's Daughter, Letting Go of Shame. Could you tell us what the intent of your book is, kind of how it came about and how it ties into our topic today?
Okay. Well, I am very concerned that there are children, many children, who are children of divorce, and statistics show that about 18% of them, both the boys and the girls, have contemplated suicide when their parents divorced. And so I understand that good marriages produce benefits to both spouses, but it also benefits children who grow up in that particular environment. And so my message in my book, The Garbage Man's Daughter, Letting Go of Shame, is a cry for adults to understand the devastating impact of divorce on their children and to understand that we carry childhood experiences that affect the formation of lasting adult relationships into our marriages. Divorce is serious, and its consequences are long-lasting. So both children and adults need to identify the garbage, I call it garbage, in our lives, to empty that garbage, and that the Father, who represents God on my book cover, the Father is willing to take it away, but he will only do it if we let it go. So the breakup of the family is a root cause of much of the decay in our morals and other problems that we face in society today. and like an earthly garbage man who only picks up your garbage when you put it out on the curb or put it out in the trash.
Right.
God is going to only pick it up when we let it go.
Oh, okay. I like that analogy. Now, in your book, did you share personal experiences that, you know, where you had this experience and how you let this go?
Yes, I'm constantly sharing experiences of how the pain of divorce impacted me.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
the character Davida represents me. And so I mm-hmm. use the character because there are other children who are experiencing this pain or have experienced the same pain of divorce. Now, I understand that there are some people who rejoice when their parents separated or divorced.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I could have done that because mm-hmm. mine did fight, and I say they fought at times, like cats mm-hmm. and dogs. And
yes.
so when you're in, and so I share in the book how I was always afraid, Davida was always afraid that mama would kill daddy because
oh.
mama believed that since a man is stronger than a woman, that the woman always has to pick up something, whatever it is, a brick
mm.
or a scraping comb or whatever it is, so that it would be the equalizer when she
oh.
fought the man. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm saying that Davida lived in fear. But then
mm.
once the parents did separate, then there was the additional pain of having to adjust to a new lifestyle. Because
mm-hmm.
unlike some people, when they move, usually you would hope they would move from one environment to a better environment.
Right.
This
right.
child moved from city life to country life, the
mm.
kind of life where you have a restroom and you can go flush when you want to or turn on the faucet and get water. Well, Davida moved from that type of lifestyle to country living where there was an outdoor toilet.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was a well where you dropped a bucket down in it to get water. So there was a drastic change in this child's life after
yes.
divorce.
So what I hear you saying then is that you're not recommending divorce, excuse me, because it's devastating to both parties. But is there ever a time when divorce is the right thing to do, even though it's a very serious decision? It's not to be taken lightly, but is there a time when you would recommend it for a couple or family?
Well, during my research for my dissertation, Compassionately
mm-hmm.
Addressing Divorce, I concluded several things or several times when I would recommend divorce as a way to end whatever is going on in the tumultuous relationship. So one of those things would be when a spouse may exert tremendous effort and endure emotional distress to the point of physical or mental breakdown while attempting
mm-hmm.
to save the marriage. One
mm-hmm.
person cannot save a marriage. And
mm-hmm.
then there are other times when there are repeated periods of separation, and then they reconcile, and yet the marriage still is unstable, and there is an extreme lack of trust. Another time is when a spouse just abandons you and that spouse cannot be found. You're only
mm-hmm.
married on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have also when a person marries a relative that is unbiblical. And
mm-hmm.
so many times they know it. Sometimes they know it. Other times they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is another time when a person may discover that the marriage is fraudulent because the spouse
oh.
is still legally married to another
oh.
person. That
okay.
happened to Catherine Kuhlman.
Mm-hmm.
Shall
wow.
I go on?
Yes, go on.
Okay. Well, another time I would recommend is when a spouse may find the marriage intolerable after years of professional counseling. You're not having any change at all because some people come to the altar with wrong motives. And then a spouse may be serving a life sentence without the prospect of parole. So, again, a person is married on paper only. And then there's another time where there's a controlling person who may terrorize a spouse and the children. And then one last one, extreme hatred may lead to violent acts or concerns about personal safety. Don't stay there until you become a corpse.
Right, right. And you know what? This is so common that we don't even realize how much this happens. Even within our own families or within our own neighborhood, so many times this is covered up and tolerated. And it's just too bad that it has to get to the point of someone being injured or killed before we realize the situation. I want to go back to – thanks for sharing those particular incidents, because I do know that there are people who believe that all marriages were put together by God and you should stay in them no matter what. But the situations you just listed are situations where I don't believe God's blessing is on terrorism or someone who's entered a relationship fraudulently and so forth. I want to go back to your book for a moment and ask you to tell listeners how they can get a hold of your book. Where is your book available?
Well, my book is available on Amazon.com,
okay.
BarnesandNoble.com,
okay.
And those who are local, Zara's Bookstore on La Brea in Inglewood,
okay.
California.
Okay.
And also on my website at www.encouragement, it's M-I-N-T, ment,
okay.
Books.
Okay.
And the reason for encouragement, INT, is because someone else already owned encouragement, ENT
with the E.
books.
Right,
yeah,
right.
But I'm giving just mints from God's Word in my book, so encouragementbooks.com.
That's beautiful. I like that.
Thank
now,
you.
Now, let's get back to the fact that, let's say, a couple has made that decision, or one person has made that decision, because as you pointed out, two people in a relationship are required for the relationship to be saved and worked on. One person can't save it alone. So if someone has come to this decision to make divorce, to carry it through, does divorce really bring peace of mind? Because you mentioned earlier some of the changes, the transition that you go through. So does divorce really bring peace of mind?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I'll take the yes first. Then the yes would be for those who have struggled and they've grieved that marriage so much for whatever period of time they were in it, they would feel that whatever it is, whatever it takes for me to be single again, I'll do it. This is going to give me peace. So even if I have to give up living in a community property state, even if that I have to give up half of my retirement, half of whatever, or they can take the whole house. I'm out of here. I'm gone. As one lady said, she got her two children, hopped the plane, didn't take any baggage or anything. She says, I'm out of here, and flew away, all right, to an unknown destination. That was peace. Now, the no part would be that you may be able to sleep soundly at night all night long without wondering where the spouse is, what he or she is doing, and who he or she is with. That would be that yes part. But then the no part. Some would say divorce now causes them to have to fight, to really fight, to deal with lawyers, angry spouses, property issues, dividing your retirement funds, mounds of paperwork, time off work, court drama, custody battles, children having difficulty adjusting, financial challenges, and many other things. And it involves now only having one income, emotional trauma, spiritual trauma, as you wonder why God allowed you to divorce, why didn't he bless your marriage? What did you do wrong? What you could have or should have done differently? And what other people will say or think about your inability to stay married? That is not peaceful, right?
Nope.
All right. So to find peace, you will need to give the matter to God. To get help from spiritual advisors, to find a divorce support group, to find at least two other caring individuals with whom you can talk things over. You see, one person is not able to handle your stuff. It's too much for them to bear, so you'll drive your friends away like that. And then pray and ask God what he wants you to learn from the situation. And then find someone else to help in some way so you can help that person. So don't isolate yourself. Always do your best to avoid being angry with the other spouse, because it will only make you miserable and cause sickness and disease and slow death. And then God that you don't have to endure that marital stress that seemed never ending. And then when you do that, you would have the ability to gain a fresh perspective on life as a single person who is complete all by yourself, because you are your whole person when you go into the marriage relationship. Okay? So we need to forget about that other half, better half talk.
You just hit on probably the most important piece of advice that we all need to keep in mind, and that is we really need to work on being a whole person, whether you're going into the relationship or now you're coming out of one, but before you enter another one, this is an opportunity to work on being enough, being whole within yourself, finding your own interests, having your own confidence and your own clarity, following your own dream. Because if you don't get to that point, then we're going to really repeat the same mistakes, I think, of getting back into a relationship that we hope will fill us up, that will give us the so-called other half, as you said. And until we become whole, then we're not going to find peace of mind, whether you're divorced or separated, whatever the case may be. So it sounds like the whole job is to work on yourself and your attitude, because the first thing you said back when you said, yes, divorce can bring peace of mind, you said you've got to be willing to give up the material things that went along with that marriage, if that is required in order to get the precious thing you want, and that is peace of mind. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Divorce hurts because a part of you has died. But we can't really be at peace, because unlike a physical death, you see a corpse and you can bring closure. You can have closure. But with divorce, here is a walking corpse, sometimes an arrogant corpse, walking corpse, and you see it constantly, and so you can never really have closure.
So
we just need to know that. So with the peace then that God gives, he says that if we cast all our cares upon him, we can do that, knowing that he cares for us. And then he promises to give us the peace that passeth all understanding as we put our trust in him.
That is so important. And I want to repeat the things that you pointed out that will bring peace of mind after divorce. And, of course, these things can apply to other stressful situations in our lives as well. But in particular, divorce, because it's not only a painful personal experience, it's such a stigma in our society. It has gotten better, but it's still a stigma. It's not something that we look forward to. So I heard you say that first we need to give this matter to God.
Yes.
We need to seek spiritual advisors, whoever the spiritual advisors are in our lives or that we can seek out, to find at least two other caring individuals that we can talk to. And I like the fact that you pointed out that we cannot dump on our friends constantly with this, because then they're not going to want to talk to us anymore. So you have to find two caring individuals with whom you can share what's going on. And then a support group. Support groups, I think, are extremely important because they let us know we're not alone.
Yes.
No support group or no other person has all the answers for you other than God. But a support group lets you know that you're not alone, because keeping this to yourself, trying to figure it out alone, is deadly. And that gets me to the other thing you said, avoid isolation, trying to stay away from other people, trying to keep it a secret, or pretending it's something it's not. Those things are just going to make your situation worse. And finally, avoiding anger against the other person. That is one of the toughest things that we, well, especially if there's been physical violence or other kinds of horrors in the marriage, to avoid anger, and also I think to be able to forgive, and this is where you're really going to need God's help, to forgive that person, because as long as you're holding it, you're hurting yourself. You're not able to move on. You're not able to grow.
Absolutely.
And so that's what I hear. Did I leave anything out?
No, you did an excellent job of it. The forgiveness is key, because as long as we let that anger fester and we won't release it, then it's causing all kinds of abnormal growths and negative emotions to stir up in us. So, yeah, we've got to let it go.
Yes, and not only the emotional thing that festers, as you just pointed out, but it gets to our physical health as well.
Absolutely.
And can cause all kinds of diseases that we do not want, and yet we can bring them on ourselves by letting this. It's like a tumor. It's a cancer that we let fester inside of us, anger. So I'm so happy you pointed these things out. I'm going to direct listeners to your book, The Garbage Man's Daughter, Letting Go of Shame, which they can get at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or on your website at www.encouragementspellmint.com. I want to thank you so much. I'm sorry?
Encouragement Books.
Uh-oh, I didn't write that. All right, let me say that again. In www.encouragementbooks.com,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And books is plural.
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm glad you corrected me on that. Thank you so much for sharing with us. We're running down to the end of today's show. Do you have any closing words for us before we leave?
My closing word for you is that divorce is one of the major reasons for the fall of several empires, Greece, Persia, Babylonia, and parts of the Roman Empire. So we need to understand that America is on the decline unless we can focus on the family and getting us back on track. And
okay.
Everything I said relates to marriage between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it sounds like the challenge we have is to create happy and satisfying families in the first place when we're selecting our mates, rather than trying to fix them or seeking divorce afterwards. It sounds like that's a whole nother show. We could talk about creating happy and healthy families to start with, right?
And that's a great point you just made, because that's the problem.
That's the problem.
It is too easy to enter into it, and there is no book that says this is how this person and that person, John and Mary, are supposed to operate in this marriage.
Right. Well, I want to thank you again, and at the end of today's show, I want to urge all of you who have been enlightened, encouraged, and empowered to share what you've learned with your family and your colleagues, and also to remember that the recording will be available shortly after this episode ends today. So come back and download it, or tell your friends about that at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. You can return 24/7 to hear any of the 3 years of episodes that are there. Thank you, Gloria, for being my guest.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. I'm going to ask you to join me again next Monday, April 11th, 2011, at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California. I'm going to ask you to have a blessed week, and remember to color your life happy.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Color your life.